Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the No Repeat Guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Jordan Harvey, welcome back to your homeland, to this side of the pond. It's good to have you back.
Thanks for having me back.
The last time we spoke, you were a single man. You were a man about town. You'd moved to Nashville. It was all happening. Now you're married.
Now I'm married, mate. Married to a girl from Southern Alabama.
And you wrote a song about this, right? You wrote a song about the meeting.
I did, mate. And it was in COVID, actually. I wrote it over Zoom with two of my mates, Andy Albert and Kevin Bard. And Andy actually is a massive fan of Alabama football, which is a college team over in America, for those that don't know. Didn't realize that college football was as big as it is.
Oh, until you moved over.
Massive, mate. 100,000 people go to the games.
Yeah, the stadiums are unbelievable.
Like, absolutely massive. So we go, I'm in the house down in Dothan, Alabama, and we're on Zoom, and Andy had the idea, because I said to him, I really want to write this song. I don't just want to write a love song, quote unquote. I want to write a song that I can sing every night and I can see myself in. And that's kind of how the Alabama girl kind of came around. I was completely taken back when I went to my first ever American football game and how pleasant everyone is to each other. It's like the Steelers and the Ravens are next to each other in the stadium.
Yeah,
and
then like the it's Ravens, jovial. It's jovial.
Oh my God, the Steelers guy turns around and is like, oh, great touchdown, man. And I'm like, if this was Hearts and Hibs in Scotland, it would be a brawl.
Speaking of football, the last time you were over, you had a huge honor and something that, you know, a lot of people dream about happening.
Yeah.
Also something that a lot of people get wrong when they do it. But you got it right. You sang the national anthem.
I did, mate. God Save the King. And it's funny how the whole thing came about. A manager called me and said, do you know the British national anthem? And initially I said, God Save the Queen. You know?
Sure.
Because that's what I've grown up my whole life.
That's what we've been singing for, like 70 years.
And then it kind of dawned on me that I didn't know it. I knew the tune.
You know, like, that's the thing with every national anthem. You know the hook.
Yeah. I don't even know the whole thing of Flower of Scotland either, to be honest. So I learned it. And then within a week, I'd gone through Mexico, played a show in Mexico. Then I was on a flight and land in London. And I'm a lifelong Ravens fan, so it was super cool to be doing it at the Ravens Titans game. It's kind of
So this was the American football game was over here.
At the Tottenham Stadium. But I will tell you, what's really tricky is to me the American national anthem and the British national anthem.
Yeah,
they're not that far away from each other in the first few notes. So Brooke sings American anthem first. Brooke Eden, and in my head I go, "Is that the song I'm meant to sing?" So the weirdest thing is when you're standing on that platform and Steve Smith's got his hand up, who is a legendary American football wide receiver, and he points at me and I get a note in my ear. The panic of, please don't sing the Star Spangled Banner melody with the words of God Save the King, because this would be horrendous. But luckily I got off to a good start and I hit the first three notes and then I was plain sailing. But if you actually listen to those songs side by side, it's not like they're not completely miles apart from each other.
There is it's not the U.S. national anthem, but there is a U.S. patriotic song that everybody sings on 4th of July and all that.
It's the same melody. It's the same melody.
That is God Save the King.
Yes.
It's just with different words.
But it was awesome. I loved it, man. I think that I'm one and done, though. Please never.
Oh, yeah, you've done that.
I am never doing it again.
No, you've done it.
The pressure is insane, and it's so fun to do, especially in like a stadium full of people.
Yeah.
But I will never, ever do it again.
No, you've done it. You don't have to. It's fine.
There's one last thing I would do, actually. I'm going to contradict myself. I would sing Flower of Scotland at Murrayfield.
Okay.
For rugby. I would do it. And then once I've done that, me and the national anthems are done.
All right, that's on the list.
Yeah.
How's it been since you moved to Nashville? It's been a while now, right?
It's been good, mate. I've been there for like 5 or 6 years.
Is everybody like, oh, I love your accent. Where are you from?
Yeah, either people are just completely confused by my accent.
Like, what did you say?
Yeah, exactly. Or people love it. But the funniest thing is my two best mates are in Seaforth, Mitch and Tom. Over there, it's so funny because
they're Australian.
Yeah, no one cares about the Australian accent. So we'll go to bars and we'll order a pint. He'll order a pint. And as soon as I order a pint right after him, like, oh, where are you from? And he's like, how does this happen every single time? I feel like the Australian accent is quite close to the American accent, actually, in a way.
Well, a lot of people think that a British accent is Australian. I've had loads of British, you know, when I've had my British mates over or colleagues or something, people are always like, are you Australian?
Yeah, and we get Irish. So Scottish gets Irish, and then English get Australian.
And then you get, oh, I'm Scottish. My grandfather's Scottish.
God. Mate, if I had a pound for every single time I've gotten an Uber and someone has told me their life story.
Yeah, everybody in America is Scottish or Irish.
Everyone's grand Scottish.
Yeah.
My gran's not even Scottish. No, she's Scottish. But it's, I love Nashville, and I went on a whim. Literally, I got off of, I did that thing back in the day, that Let It Shine show with Gary Barlow, and Take That, which was on BBC.
Oh gosh, of course.
So I did that, and it was class. I really enjoyed it. And right after it, they kind of branded me as this country guy, because I was singing in pubs at the time in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, you need to go to Nashville. And I was like, with what money? I have absolutely no money. And I come from I'm very proud to come from a very hard working class family. So I was like, where are we going to find all these thousands of dollars?
Yeah.
But my brother had been going to Cambridge University to do his PhD in some category of law that he does. He's very intellectually intelligent. I don't even know if those two words go together, but that shows you how good I am at that. And my gran had been paying for his like monthly meals. So she'd saved up a little check for me, and it was more or less like the exact amount for me to get to Nashville and back. So went for lunch, got the check, booked my flights and never looked back.
Congratulations on it. It's fantastic. And you're doing just fine, right?
I'm doing not bad, you know. I'm enjoying it. I'm living the life, and like, it's been a hectic kind of 5-6 years, to be honest. Obviously the King Calloway thing happened, and that was an absolute whirlwind.
That's when we first met.
That's when we there
was like
first
28
met.
Of you in a band.
36, yeah.
Yeah.
And we first met there, yeah. And that was a complete whirlwind. And then coming out of that to going into, you know, Jordan Harvey, the solo artist, that's been a complete whirlwind.
And how's the EP been?
Fantastic, mate. Honestly, it's been so good. And I can't thank you guys enough for playing it as much as you did, honestly.
Well,
it's been absolutely incredible. Like, the support from you guys, the amount of calls, texts, emails I've had from people in the UK saying we hear it on Absolute, and the kind words from you and everyone else has just been so amazing. And I'm very grateful for all of that.
Our pleasure.
As any artist that has any type of support, especially from something as big as Absolute Radio Country and yourself, it's just very... It's amazing, because without that, you're not going to be able to reach as many people.
What else is coming up?
So honestly, I am tirelessly working in the studio right now, to be honest.
Okay, yeah, you're working on new music.
Yeah, and it's taken a little bit longer than I expected, which is a blessing and a curse. I'm working with a new producer, a guy called Rob Persaud, who's absolutely phenomenal. Actually a British lad as well, grew up in West London, and he lived in LA for a while, now lives in Nashville.
Right.
And I'm actually working on the record with him, and some of the stuff I'm working with Tom from Seaforth as well. We're kind of doing it all together. But it's coming together really cool. I do have something mega exciting for the record that I cannot announce yet, but I've got
this feels like a collaboration.
It is, and it's awesome. And I think there could be potential other ones down the line, but
right,
one
is it a female,
like,
or a male?
It's
you can tell us that.
It is, all I'll say is
it's a band. It's,
okay, I'll give you that.
There
and,
we go.
And what I will say is that it's not in country, but there can't be any more questions after that, because I might give it away. Because I'm terrible. Listen,
it's
I can't do
not
it.
Not in country.
No.
All right.
But it's something if 6-year-old me was told that it would happen, I would jump up and down.
Oh my God, you're doing a song with ABBA.
How did you know?
Oh my God, you're doing a song with ABBA.
Hey,
just before you go, I want to talk about the Grand Ole Opry, because we talked about, hey, you're doing fine. I mean, the Grand Ole Opry, right? That's the thing. Like, that's when you know, like, oh yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's all happening. So talk to us about that.
Again, it was one of these things as well. My manager is a terrible jokester.
Okay.
Like the worst, right? And we were on tour. I can't for the life of me remember what city we were in. But there's this thing on my calendar, and I just knew it wasn't right. He'd put something that was like some online meeting. I was like, why are we having an online meeting at 11:30? And I've got a show that night. Like, what's going on? But he'd put some weird word in the calendar, and I was like, okay, well, this is quite clearly isn't what this is. And open up the laptop, and we're sitting in a Starbucks as well. I was like, let's be honest, we're not going to do a serious meeting in a Starbucks. But my mum and dad are on the screen.
Oh.
And my brother as well, and I'm like, is everyone okay?
Yeah, that doesn't bode well.
Yeah, I'm like, is everyone alive?
What's
like,
happening?
You know, what's going on here? And my mum just has got tears in her eyes, and I'm like, okay, well, this is positive because she's smiling. And then my dad was like, oh yeah, you're gonna be playing the Grand Ole Opry. And I was like, well, I'll tell you one thing. I'll be turning up to the Grand Ole Opry in my kilt.
I started to say you had to wear it. Yeah,
I did, mate. I had to wear it. One thing, I don't regret it, because I feel like what I wanted to do in this instance of playing the Grand Ole Opry, especially in my debut, is I wanted to wear my kilt, and I got some great footage of that, did sound check in my kilt and all that. But I wanted to really pay homage to country music, because, you know, kilts aren't really in country music right now. I'd love to bring them into country music. Who says they can't be in country music?
Yeah,
but
do it.
I wore them for the sound check, and then I kind of went more, a little bit more traditional from a wear for stage wear. I actually had a jacket custom made, which was really cool. But next time I go back to the Opry, if they'll have me, which I'm hoping they will, I will definitely wear a kilt for that performance.
Excellent.
You have my word.
I mean, you listen, it's not a million miles between plaid and tartan.
Yeah.
True. Basically the same.
Basically the same thing, yeah. And to be fair, Luke Combs came over here and rocked a kilt.
He did?
Yes. So I'm like, well, okay, Luke, you've paved the way for me to go back in your country and wear one. You wore one in mine, I'll wear one in yours.
Congratulations on everything, Jordan.
Thank you very much, mate. And again, thank you so much to you and the Absolute Radio Country team for all the support. It does not go unnoticed, and you guys are the best.
Thank you, and I can't wait for the song with ABBA.
I mean, it's going to be unbelievable, mate. Waterloo Mark 2.
See you soon.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.